And I'm joined with Dennis Hodgson?
Hogenson.
Hogenson, okay. So, and you're a senior air safety investigator with the NTSB, correct?
Correct, that's correct.
What is that job?
I'm a regional investigator based in the Seattle office. I live out in near Seattle, Washington.
Okay, and what is a regional investigator as opposed to just the standard field offices, or is there a distinction?
We're the primary frontline investigators in regional investigations. Generally focus on general aviation, helicopters, GA aircraft. We get involved with some of the 135 carriers, as well as some of the smaller regional airlines.
And what is what is your job specifically?
My job is to
a day in the life of
day in the life is process accidents. It could be as simple as doing a simple desk report of an accident, or actually launching to the accident site for a full on field investigation.
And do you actually go out in the field, or
do I
you,
do
you? So is that part of what do they call that? The go team, or?
In the regions, it's a little different. Most of the time, you're launching with one or two people only.
Okay.
From the NTSB, you'll go to the accident site. You'll work the accident site with the local authorities, parties to the investigation. Typically, not as many people as you would see on a major GO team launch.
And what determines that team would get sent as opposed to?
Typically, the GO team manages the 121 type accidents.
Okay. And you do the 135s and the 91s?
Correct.
So, do you see any, I don't know if you see differences if you don't do the 121s, but there any kind of typical, I guess forensic would be the right word, but differences, patterns in accidents with the GA as opposed to the airline?
You know, I guess I'm not really prepared to speak to specifics about trends and analysis. The difference in the investigation styles is it's conducted pretty much the same way, mm-hmm. other than the regional investigations are much shorter in length. Typically, there'll be fewer aspects of the investigation that we'll delve into. And we hope and we try to get our cases out in generally about 270 days.
Okay. And I know a couple of the NTSB, we've had a few people in here this week, and they have backgrounds with manufacturers in aircraft safety or investigations. Your background's a little different?
My background was general aviation. I graduated from school with a degree in flight technology and went directly from there to flight instructing. I worked as a flight instructor for a number of years, transitioned into the 135 charter world, did a lot of various worked for a couple of different charter outfits, did firefighting support, flew a number of contracts for the Forest Service, and transitioned from there into corporate aviation. Spent a few years there, and then transitioned into law enforcement, fixed wing aviation, and was hired from that world into the NTSB.
And is there a typical background for an NTSB investigator?
I don't believe so. No. We run the gamut as far as backgrounds. The fellow to my right, Elliot Simpson, came to us. He's an engineer. All of us have pilot's licenses. Most of us have worked as pilots.
I understand it's a requirement for the investigators.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, is to have the pilot's license. Any standout investigations that you've worked on that...
We just finished an investigation in Butte, Montana. The investigation was just over 2 years in length. It went to a full board meeting in Washington, D.C. We had 14 fatalities in a Pilatus PC-12 that crashed. And it was a very extensive investigation from the standpoint we didn't have a lot of information in the beginning. Throughout the investigation, we were able to find, successfully download some non-volatile memory out of some of the avionics in the aircraft or flight instruments, and it really helped us.
You said non-volatile memory.
Correct.
And what exactly does that mean?
Stored memory.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've been with the board for
almost 13 years.
13 years. Mm-hmm. Have you seen some changes in the way the investigative process is progressing with technologies? And I mean, there's a lot of the FAA's been restructuring all of their controller and the way they disseminate information.
I think the changes that we're seeing is we're finding more and more electronics in the aircraft that record data that we can later download. I don't believe the intention of the data was to download during the accident investigations, but we certainly want to use that data when we find it. So we're moving more into this electronic age where we're we're finding this data and we're using it in accident investigation. It is very helpful. We're also seeing GA aircraft with full-on data recorders.
And there's a lot more technology, that, I guess, that the pilots are using, which probably contributes to what could be factors in the
Correct.
Accidents. So anything about that that you
Not yet.
Stands
I
out
I know
for you?
That I've been asked a number of times, was the pilot texting or talking on his cell phone? And I'm not run into that yet, but I'm sure it's out
or
there.
Or just use and knowledge of the equipment. Or, you know, a lot of times we talk about how technology does so much that when it doesn't do what you expect it to do, the pilot has a hard time, what's called stepping into the loop, getting mm-hmm. the human back into the loop. Mm-hmm. So how...
I've not seen any trends. I know we've talked about it a little bit. I think we're still a few years off before we can really make a decision on or say anything with any
Or just
certainty.
Even anecdotal, you know, any...
I've not worked...
You haven't worked with anything like that?
No, not yet.
So what stands out for you in your job?
Our job is very, very dynamic. It's very fast-paced. I came actually from an accident site to Oshkosh. I launched to an accident on Monday. And it's a very fast-paced... It's a... Interesting job from the standpoint is you see something different every day, and you'll never be the expert in the room on anything. You're constantly going from new subject to new subject, learning. It's like being in school.
It's not boring then.
Not at all.
So if you don't like your teacher in a couple of semesters at least, you'll have a new class.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess that's kind of the same with the job.
Yes.
And is there any place that that people come here as safety investigators? Do they take that and go to other agencies and institutions often? Is there a lot of, you know, like the FAA or...
I've not seen a lot of our people go to the FAA. We've had people go out into the private sector and do basically the same job in the private sector. We don't typically have a real big turnover.
You tend to be kind of a more of an end road, or
yeah.
you know, not an end road, not to sound final about it, but you know, where people come
Correct.
With that cumulative experience
yeah.
and bring it
yeah.
bring it to the board. So, how long does a typical investigation take, and what factors into that timeline?
Typical, we'd like to see the investigation last only about 270 days. However, anytime you get into complex systems, you're doing involved teardowns. Involved testing, it can take, you know, a year and a half to 2 years.
And what, you know, with the teardowns, what specific things might drag something out, for example?
A lot of times you're testing systems that have been smashed into pieces. You need to develop a test plan, sit down with the engineering staff and figure out exactly how do we want to test this.
Kind of restructure,
rebuild it. And there aren't test facilities for a lot of the things that we want to do. You have to build them. Or go find something that's similar and mock it up to fit your needs.
And how do you go about doing that? Is it
we work with
manufacturers?
Various manufacturers and call around the country and find. You may be faced with asking one manufacturer to help you out testing a component or working with a component that they have no knowledge of. They just happen to have the facility that can facilitate your needs.
And I know you're not, again, there. You know, you haven't had enough, I guess, data and time to really speak to trends, but what about your geographic area? I mean, I know the main headquarters is in D.C., and you're mm-hmm. in Seattle.
Correct.
Is there anything about the Northwest that sticks out
is we're very seasonal. GA traffic in the Northwest increases greatly over the summer months. In the wintertime, it's, you know, 200 over in rain.
Yeah.
And though we work in the L.A. region as well. The West Coast is the entire West Coast. We have offices in L.A. and Seattle. So the L.A. area or Southern California, they seem to be busy year-round. And
yeah.
Where the
That's
Northwest
where I live,
is,
and it's pretty busy.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. And you guys are in the Federal Pavilion?
Correct.
So if somebody wants to come by and
Absolutely.
Chat with you a little bit more?
Absolutely. Come on by. We're in the Federal Pavilion from, I believe, 9 to 5 each day.
Okay.
And there's typically two or three investigators.
Happy to answer questions.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of handouts and pictures and anything you need.
Fantastic. So, Dennis Hoganson. Eventually, I'll get it right.
Next year.
Exactly. Next year. There's a lot of names that run through here. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
And enjoy the rest of your Oshkosh.
Thank you.